Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another episode of Paranoia Investigator Radio.
There's no paranoia here.
Yeah, there is. Have you not been here the past hour?
What's going on, guys?
Not too much. How are you guys?
Not too bad. This is Peter Leonard.
This is Nicole Jeffrey.
I'm sorry.
Mike Perillo.
And I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero.
And you know what's open? The phone lines. 1-800. 1-800.
If you're psychic, you know the rest of the
phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Will this be the week that someone from Canada calls up for Mike? 530-763-1565.
Oh.
I'm waiting.
So are we.
Canadian ladies.
I had Canadian bacon for breakfast today for the first time since the pancreatitis.
How was it?
Not very good.
I want bacon.
Why do they call it Canadian bacon? I just call it ham.
Yes, that's about what it is.
It is ham.
Very chewy ham that has like a weird smoked flavor to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Smokies, because when, I don't know, Steve's not here to do a commercial for us, so.
That's all right.
Maybe he'll call over.
Steve, if you're listening, we need you to call a commercial in. You can do
Steve.
That one about the condoms you came up with. We don't care.
Oh my goodness, seriously?
They're paranormal condoms, if it matters.
Well, that's even better.
It's the ghost condom.
All right, I guess we're good.
So invisible, it's not even there. You can't get more thin on your skin than ghost condoms.
Ghost condoms.
Ghost. In case you want something to happen. Ghost. Okay.
All right. It's going to deteriorate already.
And this is a special request. If we have any of our friends from California that would like to call in and talk about vampires or Bigfoot, or if you are Bigfoot, 1-800
or even
1-888-429-5471. Vampires are real, Michael.
I'm fully aware.
I know many energy vampires.
Energy
one of them
vampires.
Is related to you.
It's just a fun sponge.
A what?
A what?
A fun sponge. They suck all the fun out of it.
A fun sponge.
A fun sponge, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Why do I feel a commercial for that coming on?
Wow. The fun sponge. Is your child having too much fun this summer?
They're fun for a girl and a boy. Fun sponge.
Fun sponge.
By Moppet.
So, what topics do we
anyway,
have?
Anyway,
we got a lot of topics. I've got a lot of topics here, but Nicole's our topic train.
I have been following some stuff online about some sightings they've been having in, it looks like Jersey and Pennsylvania, of flying humanoids. Buena Vista Township, and it looks like Cherry Hill. They're seeing a creature that is humanoid looking, like with a wingspan, black wingspan, of like 7 to 8, they said 9 to 10 feet.
Is that the Jersey Devil?
That's what I was thinking. They said it reminds them of the character from Jeepers Creepers.
This is what I wanted to show you guys.
Cherry Hill is outside of Philadelphia, if you need a geographic reference for our listeners.
I didn't know
it's located next to Camden, the murder capital of New Jersey.
Yeah, don't ever drive through Camden. That was
Didn't you have music on?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There's a background check. No, this is not real.
Is that a flying squirrel?
Is that Superman?
No, that, yes, but it's not the one I'm looking for. Hold on. All right, keep talking.
Superman is a flying humanoid.
New Jersey is famed for the devil, but it's not a devil. It's more of a elemental, I believe.
Right.
Or is it the Mothman? Mothman from New Jersey?
No,
Jersey Devil.
From Jersey
Devil.
Jersey Devil, yep. So this has been popping up all over the internet. And also in, I don't know how to pronounce this. Is it Pinot Lake? P-I-N-C-H-O-T? How do you pronounce that?
Pinot Noir.
Like a Pinot Grigio, I don't know.
Grigio.
Yeah. So that's a large bird-like sighting in Pennsylvania, so I'm wondering if that's related to the sightings that have been going on in Jersey.
A large bird?
Well, a lot of people were killed in the Pine Barrens by the Mafia.
A lot of people buried in the Pine Barrens.
Oh, I'm sure.
Especially if you watch The Sopranos with the Russian episode.
My favorite episode is Sopranos.
You knew I had to reference that one, I'm sorry.
That's Snoopy on a doghouse. Another flying human.
We're getting
this
there.
This is what I want to show you.
In the meantime, 1-888-429-5471 if you've seen the Jersey Devil. And we're not talking about the hockey team, just so you know.
Keep going, sorry. I'll let you know when I
get
not
paranormal or anything, but has anybody seen the
show? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Anybody seen the show on TV, The Making of the Mop, on AMC?
I haven't seen the whole thing. I stopped.
You started watching it with Lucky Luciano?
Yeah.
And all that. That's a good show.
Very good show.
The same people who made the show The Men Who Built America, which was amazing,
that's what
made
I heard.
This.
I didn't see it, but I heard it was really
good. Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah, this show is great. I actually taped it to watch last night. It's on Monday, so I have to tape it and watch it from last night. So
I've only seen like the first two episodes. I actually reading about the mob and stuff was a hobby of mine.
I love it. Me too.
And actually, it seems pretty accurate on a lot of stuff there.
And Lucky Luciano was in Dannemora, where those two guys escaped. Up in Clinton Correctional.
Really?
He was there for 10 years. Yep. He pretty much ran the prison. They came in, decorated his cell just like his house. And,
oh, that's right.
And he had people come and go as he pleased.
I do remember seeing that.
Yeah,
he ran the mob out of
He ran the mob from
out of Dannemora.
Yeah.
Now, we'll mention this on the air, but understand this is copywritten. The idea belongs to us. It's something we've had in the works, and you're going to see shortly. But we were the originators of Ghostafia.
Yes, that's
where
right.
We were going to have a paranormal series based on mafia locations.
Oh, that's great.
By mafia paranormal investigators. You just touch me? You just touch me? Ming, come and try that again.
I got a
click, click, bang.
I
got like a freaking thing over here just touched me. Oh, do I touch you? Ming.
Leave the ghost, take the cannoli.
God. It involved two large gentlemen pulling up in a convertible with a big sub in their hand.
Hey.
They go, oh! Come touch my torpedo! Hey! Oh! What are you? You freaking piece of brujal or what?
That's Mom. Amazing.
And we're watching you, because if this hits A&E, you're all in deep shit.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now, Nicole, I want to go back to yours about flying humanoids.
Yes.
I was reading an article at work a couple weeks ago on the Bruja, which is the flying witch from South America that they see flying over the mountain ranges in Chile.
Right.
And I could pull up a video of it if anybody wants to see it. But it led to a forum discussion about flying humanoids, which led to a discussion about flying objects and man-made flying objects, and then man-made flying humanoids. So I'm following this now. I finally get to the website of this company called Fly Guy Promotions.
Nothing to do with pimps.
No. Fly Guy Promotions produces 3D humanoid flying objects.
I think I've seen this.
Powered by quadcopters.
Really?
And they do it for Comic-Con and all the different comic-related events around the world. So I got a video up over here of a witch on a broom, which is very...
I can't believe that just happened.
Holy cow.
A full body apophrecarition.
The lights and stars.
That was the time vortex.
Goodness gracious.
Time vortex.
We lost 15 minutes just like that, and we're back on Paranormal Investigator Radio.
We actually stopped so Mike could eat potato chips.
Yeah, Mike was hungry. We had to take a break. Goodness gracious.
Oh, we have a caller.
1-888-429-5471.
Let's get our caller. Hello,
hi,
caller.
I was actually listening to what I thought was live, but it was actually a replay of a previous show. And you guys were discussing on this previous show, you had a rather skeptical view of aliens visiting this planet, if I understood correctly. Is that you guys are kind of skeptical of all the stories about abductions, etc.?
Well, you know, this is the thing with the field of the paranormal. If you investigate one aspect of the paranormal, you have to be open to all aspects of the paranormal, whether that's Sasquatch or the Loch Ness Monster or the UFOs. But having said that, we, by nature, are actually skeptical of all of the paranormal. We are predominantly ghost hunters or, you know, whatever you
well,
call it.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you any of you talked to Travis Walton, to Dr. What's the guy? The guy that one of the lunar landers, Dr. The one that said Roswell actually happened. He was a
no.
lunar astronaut.
Yeah, no, we know who you're speaking of, and we've watched documentaries on it. We've never had any personal conversations, though.
This is Peter speaking. I actually find it fascinating, like, when astronauts talk about what they see. And I know Neil Armstrong was one of the big proponents for aliens. And I always wondered what it took for him to come forward and say that he had seen them on the moon, that they were watching us. Other astronauts have seen things, but they're reluctant to talk about it. So, I mean, as a
have
group...
Have you seen the documentary, We Know What We Saw, in which they bring... They have a Washington, D.C. press conference in which they bring, you know, all these people from the government of France, U.K., that one guy from the U.K. who was part of the Ministry of Defense, you know, all these astronauts, et cetera, police people, and they all give their little testimony. And you're looking at that thing, and you're saying, my God, why would all these people be in part of a hoax like that? You know, there must be something to it.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no doubt about it that when you have so many people from across the globe reporting on similar occurrences, you can pretty much rule out group hallucinations or anything like that. So there has to be something to it. Pete always says that when coincidence becomes commonplace, it's no longer a coincidence. So barring anything that's very random happening, then that kind of leaves us with something that may actually be valid reports.
See, I don't think the government...
I don't know if you... I had an opportunity to talk to Travis Walton. What made me a believer was the last thing he told me was, I wish to hell I had never got out of the truck that day. Because happened after that, he was beamed up. And it's you get the feeling, you know, he's suffering from PTSD. And he just pretty much, you know, is a living nightmare for him ever since then. That he was not.
Yeah.
He was on that paranormal investigation series. I think he was the episode called The Abductee, and it was quite compelling when they bring back all these people from decades ago, including the police, who still don't change their story. They all passed the lie detector tests. You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah,
Betty and Barney Hill. That's a fascinating case. Morton Downey Jr. was another fascinating case. I mean, these are people that under hypnosis and all kinds of tests, they can verify what they say is what they believe happened. I mean, I can't say it didn't. The thing
well,
is, with this field is like...
about whether it's true or not, but I'd like, how do you feel about it? Personally, I feel that the human race is in a lot of trouble. I feel that we're facing a mass extinction crisis. And we need help. Since I don't believe in a God, I'm an agnostic. I would certainly welcome something, even alien overlords. I'd sell out the human race if I had a chance to save ourselves from ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I always go back to the movie Contact when Jodie Foster said, if we're the only things out here, it's an awful waste of space. And that's certainly true.
Well, I feel the human race is proof there is extraterrestrial life. Right? I mean, it's all come from somewhere. I don't think life spontaneously developed on this planet. I just don't go for that. I think there was something, whether it was on an asteroid that was brought here or, you know, directly planted by something or someone.
Yeah.
So I think there is life. And Stephen Hawking has come out publicly and said he's 99.9% sure. He's done the calculations. There is life out there. Now, he won't say if there's life visiting us right now, but in fact, he advises against it. He says if there is life, more than likely, they're super predators. And the contact between us and them would be akin to what happened between the Europeans and the Native Americans.
Generally. Yeah, I've read Hawking stuff on it, and he does have a really fascinating approach to the topic.
Did you leave behind something reliable?
Nicole,
something that
felt like
home,
and now you can't connect the way you used to.
I don't have an ad.
Because you switched wireless carriers and can't get a reliable connection anymore.
There's no ad on my computer.
It's okay. We're still here for you.
This is paranormal.
And we'll be happy to have you back on a reliable network. Come home to Verizon and get 10 gigs for $80 a month plus $15 per line.
There's no ad on my computer whatsoever.
Okay, I'm sorry. Are you still there? Okay, well, to the caller, we thank you for the call. Sorry we had... Tonight's a night of technical difficulties.
Nothing but
technical. Here at DePaulo's in Rome, New York. Were you going to weigh in something on that topic?
I don't know. I'm trying to switch my long-distance carrier now. It's long-distance even...
There literally was no ad on my computer. I have no idea where that came from.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that it was our internet went down earlier, and then we got a phantom ad to switch internet carrier.
That's very ironic. Mike, how about you? You got an opinion on the extraterrestrial?
I do, actually. I agree. I think there's a lot of compelling evidence out there. I personally can't say with 100% wholeheartedness, yes, I believe in aliens. There's a lot of evidence out there and a lot of... as you said, there are a lot of stories that match up, a lot of too many to be coincidence.
Yeah.
And just looking through history, there's a lot of things that would make a heck of a lot more sense if aliens were real.
Now, let's carry on with this topic for a minute. If you look at the ancient Egyptians and the hieroglyphics and their portrayal of very large beings in comparison to the pictographs of the small beings with the huge eyes and all that stuff. So there's one story that aliens were here.
Yes.
There's
a lot of ancient cultures that have Native Americans. They all draw, you know, they all have things that look like your
typical
Spielberg alien
witches.
Right.
South America.
They all have something that looks like.
And we always go back to this. How can civilizations, millions of years, however long, all around the globe, communication, all have such similar pictures and depictions, and if there wasn't really something there? And then you get into that topic of the very tall beings, giants, if you will. Were these aliens or the original inhabitants of Earth very tall? A couple episodes ago, we talked about how they found caves in the Grand Canyon or New Mexico, wherever. For giants.
Well, I want to say it's the people on Easter Island have a myth that at one point two races lived in that area, and one of them came from, a lot of them go back to myths of, I guess, of Atlantis, for simple term to call it, where your people who live in Europe have tales of a flood that destroyed an island to the west. Native Americans had a tale of people who survived a flood in the east.
Yeah.
And they all seem to be based around it. And a lot of those reports were, if you believe in the Atlanteans, they were allegedly taller than, they were 6 foot or whatever, which for ancient people's standards was a giant.
Tall, yeah.
So the Atlanteans were, they were tall people, the East Islanders, that the Moaheads, right? So they were supposedly represent how they had, elongated heads, big ears. And allegedly they were heavily tattoo-covered people, and they were able to move all the stones because they had magic that let them... Mm.
Now, before our little crash over here, I had an article open about how there was recent discoveries that aliens were taller than what we expect they would be. Unfortunately, that's gone now.
Taller than?
Yeah, like in excess of 10 to 12, 15 feet. I was reading that before we started tonight.
When I was in seventh grade, so you're going back quite a long ways, one of our projects was we had to do a journal of whatever interested you. And obviously I was interested in the stuff all back when. And I remember, I think it was the Sentinel, did an article on like UFOs or whatever. And it actually had at the time, it had the four most common appearances of aliens. And it actually had four distinct, where one of them looked like your typical gray, one of them looked kind of like a Bigfoot.
Tall white?
Huh?
Tall whites?
Who was that? I don't remember what the other two
were. Oh, I don't know.
But the point being is,
so that
is,
I know
blues,
tall
grays,
white.
Greens, and...
But don't they all pretty much look the same except different color?
And with reptilian, I couldn't think of that.
But
reptilian
like
or the...
It seems modern, all these different reports. Now everybody who sees an alien just sees... a gray kind of Spielberg.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, that's why they're called Spielberg aliens, because they showed up in, was a movie with the old people.
First Encounter. Right?
They can't all be Thermians.
Zeta Reticulans.
Now, it's funny we mention all this because Eric, one of our friends and former members, we sat down, we had a discussion with him one evening about this stuff to try and write down for a project we were working on, a logbook, what the different civilizations are. And he actually outlined a list of like 40 to 50 different alien species that are said to exist and characteristics of each of them, like whether they're friendly, whether they're malevolent, whether they're conscious or predatory or, you know, whatever, and language characteristics and all this stuff.
A cat. At one point you tried to sell me on that cats were aliens.
Reading through this whole list, you have the reptiles, you have the cats, you have the grays, you have the whites, you have the Nordics, you have this and that. It's astounding to just think that there's civilization out there. It's even more incredible to think that there's such a diverse array out there. All this information had to come from somewhere. You know, it's possible that somebody just made it all up, but...
Well, they say, like, I keep going back to Atlantis because that was a very early fascination of mine. And, you know, the big thing of Atlantis was in Plato's books.
Three men.
Sorry.
It was in Plato's books with the Republic and whatever the other one was. And, yeah. But a lot of people accused him. They said Atlantis couldn't be real. Because his detail, he had too many details. He was too specific about a lot of things to have been a story passed down to him.
Really?
So Atlantis must have been a fabrication. Was it imagined? The whole thing, that's why he captured so many details perfectly. So adding to, you know, you start adding too much detail, and, you know, creative people come up with all sorts of fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Like the call who called in was an agnostic. I mean, look at, not to bring up the religion conversation, but look at the Bible. I mean,
you have to, because that answered his own question, and we can take that up next week, because the question is not, do we believe in aliens? The question is, can society handle the fact that aliens are real?
Yeah.
Religious people can't.
Yep.
The church is not ready, not specifically Catholic or Christian, but churches are not willing and ready to accept
every religion pretty much,
because that literally destroys, even though they say it doesn't, it destroys the foundation immediately overnight. Are they prepared?
We'll have to join the Zeno Church of Unity.
But please don't sell out the human race, especially for a glass of water or something like that. Especially not at minimum wages going up to $15. A lot of people will be mad at you.
So, Pete, with like 2 minutes left, is there any announcements you want to put out?
Yes, we need to put this one out. August 1st, this Saturday, the Knox Mansion at Johnstown, New York. Tickets are very limited at this point. You'll be provided with a buffet of food. We're going to do a roundtable discussion, and then you're going to investigate that bad boy with Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. But more importantly, on August 15th at the Shops at the Finish Line in Utica, New York,
The Godfather himself, John Zaffis, will be up here, and he'll be doing whatever John Zaffis does. We usually say a presentation, but he didn't do one last year. He did something even more funner.
More funner.
And then we investigated that bad boy. So check out our Facebook pages, check out our Twitter, check out our website. Website is RomeParanormal.com. We're Rome Investigators of the Footprint.
What?
Rome Investigators.
No, that's not. Rome Investigators of the Paranormal is what we are.
And Lamplight Tours. We only have three left.
That's it?
That's it.
And then we come down to the fall paranormal tours.
Well, we got September 26th. We got Rutgers Mansion.
Rutgers Mansion.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
We've sold 300 rickets for that, so we're good.
Rickets. Well.
Alien box, space box.
On behalf of the Rome Investigators of the Footprint and Paranormal Investigator Radio, I'm Dr. Dave DeCrosbro.
I'm Mike Perillo.
I'm Nicole Jeffrey.
Keep your stick on the ice.
That's my cousin Peter Leonard.
That would have been more dramatic if you said that just as we cut off.
And we don't have any close-out music, so we're just going to whistle.
We're going to awkwardly sit here.
We're just going to sing.
Mama mia. Here I go again.